from Acts chapter 19, verse 8 and following, Paul entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly, and he argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. When some stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way before the congregation, he left them, taking the disciples with him, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons that he touched with his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some itinerant Jewish exorcists tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims." 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit said to them in reply, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered them all, and so overpowered them that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. When this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, everyone was awestruck, and the name of the Lord Jesus was praised. Also, many of those who became believers confessed and disclosed their practices. A number of those who practiced magic collected their books and burned them publicly. When the value of these books was calculated, it was found to come to 50,000 silver coins. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I'm going to show my age a little bit this morning. And perhaps your age with this statement, I'm not going to sing it, this statement from a song. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Now, for some of our younger disciples, those words won't be very familiar. But for many of us who grew up on the days before YouTube and instant messaging and Snapchat and all the other newfangled ways of communicating and being entertained, Mr. Fred Rogers would say that in his beautiful sweater on a daily basis. And I love Mr. Rogers. Many are unaware that Fred Rogers was a Presbyterian minister. He attended Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. In his ministry as a messenger of the gospel, was to practice and proclaim God's love to all of the neighbors, near and far, with his own special way. I heard Fred Rogers speak at the commencement of my seminary in 1996. And during his message, he shared these words. He spoke of how, as a young seminary student, on the weekends, he would oftentimes go out into the community, sometimes into the rural settings out from Pittsburgh, and worship with the coal miners and the other not so lured by the comfort of the city. Roger said he went to a small country church one Sunday, and he said, "I saw this ancient preacher who could barely walk, trek to the podium." And he said, with his big magnified eyeglasses on, he got out his manuscript and held it like this, and he read his entire sermon in just a few minutes. And he said it was atrocious. He said, "I thought there as I sat in my condemnation, he broke every rule in preaching that they've been teaching us at the seminary. He thought how the sermon didn't flow. It didn't inspire. It didn't move him. The theology wasn't good. Fred said, I was tearing the sermon apart there in my mind until I paused and looked at the lady sitting right beside me. And he said, as my gaze fell upon her, I saw a tear, a single tear, coming down from her eye, running all the way down her cheek, and her looking to me and saying, he said exactly what I needed to hear. Fred Rogers said it was on that day, in my judgment, it was on that day in my condemnation that I understood something about the gift of holy worship. That when a preacher stands before the people of God and a listener in need sits in the congregation, that the distance between the voice of the speaker and the ear of the listener is holy ground. God, the Holy Spirit, does a miracle of grace, transitioning what the voice of the messenger is striving to say and what the listener is eager to hear about the words of life and love. Haven't we all experience those times where you wonder if Pastor Jody is in your mind or something because he's saying exactly what's on your heart? You see, that's the holy ground that Fred Rogers spoke about. That is the power of the Holy Spirit making himself known to us as children of God. May it affirm us and encourage us. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I receive the greatest message of God's grace, it's when I feel that I'm most unworthy to have God's love. You see, even when we, at times, turn away, God is still turning to us and offering us His words of life, His passionate love revealed in the holy ground of worship. I share that with you this morning because if you remember last week, we spoke of how Paul emphasized as he traveled to the church in Ephesus, the infancy of the church, and he spoke to those believers. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? You see, Paul is reminding us that the power that strengthens us as the church, that moves us forward as ambassadors of love, that power is not in us, but in God, the Holy Spirit, to do even what we can't. To take our meager gifts and transform them into the glory of God. That's the message Paul first proclaimed in Ephesus. And that's what we hear practiced in this text today. It says that as Paul spoke, people were brought to faith, and that people witnessed miracles of grace just as they heard his preaching and saw his ministry. You see, some would say that this is Paul's crown jewel of ministry right here in Ephesus. I would say it this way. Paul was hitting on all cylinders. We know what it's like to be hitting on all cylinders, right? When we're moving like a well-oiled machine. You know, I have been accused today I wore a purple tie, and this is not an LSU Tiger tie today. I must say that. Of course, they could use all the love they could get on this day, right? Because they met someone yesterday who was hitting on all cylinders. Things were going right. And when we do that, we know there's happiness. There's a fullness in our efforts. And Paul the Apostle knew that in his ministry to the church in Ephesus. But the important thing to know, that unlike a college football team or soccer team or a business that we run, the power and performance of the church is not so much in our talents or in our work habits, but it's when we rely most of all on the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and empower us and do what we can't do alone. You see, that's when Paul got it right. Now, next week, hold on, come back next week, because we're going to see where Paul got it wrong at times. You see, Paul was human like us. When he stumbled in his ministry is when he did like dear old Pastor Jody at times, and he relied on himself too much instead of God. Don't we all wrestle at times with that? Haven't we all said, well, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and there's nothing left now to do but just pray. What if we would start with prayer and relying on the Spirit first? And in the words of St. Francis, pray as if it all depends upon God, even as we work as if it all depends upon us. Friends, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit for us as people of faith. You know, we hear the speaking today of miracles. And we spoke of in our Bible study this past week how oftentimes it doesn't seem that miracles are as prevalent today, 2,000 years later, as they were in the first century church. But you know, we still pray and hope and believe that God does miracles of grace. And if we'll open our eyes and make ourselves sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we will see that we still have a God of miracles. I shared how Manya and I, as we moved to St. Louis in preparation for Noah's special schooling needs, how we had prayed for miracles of healing for him. For him to be able to hear. For him to be able to share those words of his mother even as a young child, that I love you. And the instant miracle never came for us. And in many ways there was a faith crisis. There were questions for us and our family of why. Why hasn't God blessed us with a miracle? Until some 20 years later, and we see that sometimes miracles take time. Sometimes miracles aren't instantaneous. Could it be any more miraculous that yet that young man communicates orally and has made the dean's list every semester in college? See, miracles aren't always instantly. But God is working His grace eternally. Those are the words that Paul preached and practiced in his message to the church in Ephesus. The holy ground of faith, friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we join together in worship, we receive the words of life from the Holy Spirit, and we see miracles of grace when we trust on Him. But you know something else the Holy Spirit does? Not only do we hear from the Holy Spirit, and not only do we see the working of the Holy Spirit, but when we entrust our life to God, we feel the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God transforms us into our best life and the fullness of His grace when we rely on the Spirit. Last week during worship, we had a visitor, a young lady that was a transient from the Memphis area. She'd stayed the weekend in a local motel, was deserted by those who she traveled with. Her body, seemed to be broken in many ways, covered with tattoos. She quite honestly was likely struggling with some type of substance addiction, even as she spoke with us that day, perhaps. We don't know that. And it really doesn't matter. What matters is that she came to us in need, in tears, looking for love, searching to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And after worship, your church session, your church board was preparing to have a meeting. We had business to take care of. Don't you understand, church? We had decisions to make. We had formality to conduct. And just as our meeting began, one of our dear elders said, "You know, I think we just need to postpone this meeting today." In other words, what they were saying was, we've got ministry to do instead of meetings to conduct. So we gathered with that young lady and we surrounded her with prayers and we took her back to the local motel and we bought her another night's room and we bought her a day's worth of food. And we were the Holy Spirit. In every way we knew how, for this child of grace. Later that day, Judge Elliott and I were talking and reflecting upon the visit. And he shared with me, he said, "I just can't help but pain for that young lady and know that she needs long-term care and help, and I hope she'll get it." And I shared back with him, "That's my hope and prayer too. And my hope and prayer is that God will touch her with the miracle of grace to remind her, Brandy, that she is His and that His people love her." You see, that's what happens when you as a church open yourself to the Holy Spirit to work into your midst. Friends, miracles of grace are extended and lives are transformed. Now today as we sit here, maybe we will never have the power to preach like Paul and see thousands converted to the faith. Maybe we'll never have the miracles that someone could even touch the hem of our robe and have miracles of grace. But in trusting God, friends, we can be transformed into more. And that's all God yearns for us to be. His messengers, His servants of life and love in our broken world. Amen.